سخنران امشب جلسه تهران AA که جلسه رسمی سرشده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر نهای 15 الکلی های گمنام در تهران است، استیون بی با هوشیاری 14 سال از آمریکا. موضوع جلسه قدم 3 مترجمم که دوست عزیزمون آقای رایان. رایان جان بفرم.
Hi Stefan, this is Ryan here from sunny Cheltenham from England. I'm supposed to translate your share tonight and I do my best to just to translate the way makes sense for Iranian fellows and our culture. And چقدر ما زمان داریم؟
Thank you. So can I go now? You want me to...
زنده باش. آنجا احتمال میام 40 دقیقه اگر اشتباه نکنم.
Yeah, we've got 40 minute time. We have to just be realistic, just splitting the time. Because if you go section by section, give me time to translate. Stage right. is yours now.
Thank you. My name is Stephen. I'm an alcoholic. I'm speaking to you from the Boston area.
اسم من استفان از بوستون الکلیام از ایالت بوستون باهاتون صحبت میکنم.
I am going to talk about my experience with step 3 today. I'll give a little bit of my background leading up to my treatment and beginning of sobriety and my strength and hope after that.
من قصد دارم یه خورده در مورد امروز قصدم در مورد قدم 3 حرف بزنم، ولی لازمه که این مقداری از بک‌گراند خودم هم صحبت بکنم و اینکه از کجا اومدم و شرح مابقی.
I grew up in Southern California. Two parents, one younger brother. We lived a comfortable life. There was not a lot of drinking in my household, so I was aware of it with relatives, but nothing unusual or extreme.
من با خانوادم زندگی میکردم، با خواهرام، برادرام و پدر و مادرم. خانواده ما خیلی مسئله الکل خوردن و الکلیزم خیلی زیاد نبود و حالا تو شاید تو بخشی از اقوام هم بود ولی تو خانوادم نه.
Most of my awareness of the world of drinking within my family was from my uncle who lived in the Los Angeles area, and it was that experience of being around that, which was not a lot, that gave me a sense of it being sophisticated and almost glamorous at times thing to do. and also the that it happened at important events, dinner parties or larger parties with important people.
بیشتر به چیزی که من ازش آگاهم این که تو دوران بچگی و بوجه روش بدم کردم، خیلی تو خانواده ما مسئله نوشیدن انقدر مبرهن و بولد نبودش که من تحت تاثیر قرار بگیرم، ولی یادمه که کسی که نزدیکترین کس بود من برای نوشیدن دایی یا عموی من بود که باش الکل خوردن الکل رو زیاد میموندم، ولی زیاد دوره بر من نبود. ولی اینکه این احساس سفیستیکیتید اثرآمیز بودن و خیلی فلشی بود، خیلی آدم خفنی بودن تو الکل، موقعی که الکل میخوردم این تجربه رو احساس میکردم. اینکه مخصوصا تو جایی که دور هم جمع میشدیم یه چیزی بخوریم و نه، این حس خود خفن بینی زیاد بوده با من.
When I was in high school, my father took courses in wine and became very knowledgeable of California wines, and there was a wine at dinner but no excessive drinking, and I was permitted to have a little bit of wine here and there, But that was the extent of my drinking career before I got to college.
یادم که تو دبیرستان بودیم یه جایی سر یه میزی بودیم که یه مقدار شراب سرو میکردم و من اونجا اون اجازه رو پیدا کردم که یه مقدار بیشتر از اندازم مرزم رو رد کنم و این اولین تجربه من بود برای اینکه گسترش مصرف الکل من تا وقتی که رفتم به دبیرستان به سلام.
I was a very good student in high school and was not interested in pursuing a drinking career. I was recently reminded of my first awareness of substances and what they can do for you was actually with instant coffee. And I would, in high school, I found that if I made a very strong cup of instant coffee, I became very alert and a little bit happier.
من تاثیرات موادی که رو من تاثیر میذاشتن برای اینکه احساس منو متفاوت بدن تو دبیرستان، خب یه چیزی رو فهمیده بودم که من اگه قهوه خیلی غلیظ و تلخ و پر کافئین درست بکنم، اگه خیلی خفن خیلی قویشو بخورم، در مدت خیلی کوتاهی تبدیل خیلی به آگاهتر و خیلی خوشحالتر و خیلی رابطه‌ام با دنیا بیشتر میشه. من این متوجه شده بودم که تو قهوه یه چیزی هست.
I graduated from high school and went to college in the central coast of California. I was a shy person, and from the very first week, I found that alcohol solved my problem of having difficulty communicating with my new peers.
یادم که فارغ التحصیل شدم، وقتی که رفتم به مرحله بعدی متوجه شدم که من اصلا خیلی خجالتی هستم و خیلی نمیتونم ارتباط برقرار کنم با آدمای اطرافم. متوجه شدم که الکل یک راه حل و یک درمان است برای این خجالت من و ضعف من تو ارتباط اجتماعی.
So I was in studying in a creative field that also involved a lot of engineering and science. So I was suddenly in a stressful situation with school. And on the creative side, I found that alcohol sort of eliminated some barriers to creativity. So suddenly it was helping me socially, and it was helping me loosen up creatively. So early on, it was a good thing. And then I discovered marijuana and thought that was wonderful. And because I was having to stay up late to finish projects, there were friends of mine that had amphetamines that could keep you going all night. So my experience with substances was gradually expanding.
خدمت شما عرض کنم که موقع رشته که من میخوندم خیلی درگیر بودش با مکانیک و مهندسی و علوم مختلف، و الکل که میخوردم هم استرس منو کم میکرد، هم خیلی منو آدم تبدیل به آدم خلاقی میکرد. من میتونستم خیلی آدم های خلق کنندهی باشم، خیلی به هم داشت کمک میکرد و یواش یواش خب با علف آشنا شدم، با ماریجوانا آشنا شدم و به من کمک میکرد برای اتمام پروژه های دانشگاهم خیلی بیدار بمونم. یعنی به شکلی همه چیز داشت کمک میکرد به من.
So from that point, I think everyone present is familiar with the trajectory once things that have been set up that way, and my experience is much like many others in the program, that it just, and that it gradually became worse. I was still functioning. I graduated. I moved to the East Coast. and my drinking career sort of became the main thing. I continued to smoke pot for a while and then stopped that, and then I was strictly drinking.
من تقریباً حالا میتونم بگم میتونم متمایز باشم ولی خب تجربه مشترکی مثل همه تون دارم. من خب اوضاع خیلی بدتر شد و کنترل یواش یواش از دست من خارج شد. من فارغ التحصیل شدم و رفتم توی یه جای دیگه و یواش یواش شروع کردم مصرف علف و حالا چیزهای روانگردانی که تو جامعه ما هم اسمای دیگه ای داره. خیلی هی قطع میکردم، هی زیاده روی میکردم، هی قطع میکردم و
So I arrived in Boston during a recession, was not able to find a job in my chosen field, and got something else that paid the bills. And there was a sense of not living up to my potential, and along with my drinking sort of at that point began to prevent me from moving ahead in any way that I might actually find interesting. I did eventually get what might be called a real corporate job, and that went well. And I managed to, well, actually, let me just, I skipped something on the timeline here. I was working with a friend before I got the corporate job who was a member of AA, and I was very curious about her experience. And she actually took me to my first meeting. And I started to go to meetings, and I made an attempt at the age of about 29-30 to get sober.
What kind of a job you were doing?
At that time, I was working in an art supply store in Harvard Square, which there were some very well-known artists that came in. And I made some great friends there, so it had its positive points.
Oh, nice. Because the most smart alcoholic just trying to be barman for a first job. من شما اصلا هم که موقعی که برگشتم به بوستون شهرش خودم خیلی شغلی که میخواستم ایدئال من بود که به تحصیلات من بخوره پیدا نکردم ولی بالاخره پیدا کردم یه مدتی گذشت ولی از اون شغل تا این شغل من که ازشون سوال کردم تو چه کاری بودم یک نمایشگاه و یا یک کارگاه هنری کار پیدا کردم که از چیزهایی که با این که مانع شد من به خاطر اینکه بتونم سریعتر به روش شغلی پیدا بکنم ولی اتفاق خوبش این بود که با یک خانمی آشنا شدم اونجا که عضو ای ای بود و منو بر اولین جلسه ای منو بودش به جلسه اولین جلسه ای و تو سن 29-30 سالگی من اونجا سعی میکردم هوشیار بشم که من بهش گفتم که اکثر داستانایی که از الکلی هم میشنویم اولین شغلی پیدا میکنن فکر میکنن باهوش هم میرن بارمن میشن میرن تو مشروب فروشی کارگری میکنن بخاطر این که مجانی بخورن که بایشون کار نکردین داستان right
so I was fairly enthusiastic about the program, and I actually brought a friend of mine in, and she ended up staying sober, and I did not. And I kept going to meetings with this friend of mine, and I went through a period of about a year where I was drinking and not drinking and trying and failing. And after about a year, I just sort of threw up my hands and thought, well, I guess this isn't the time where this is going to stick, where it's really going to happen. But, you know, I felt that somehow at some point it would work out. And that put me in a weird situation because my family believed that I was no longer drinking. And some of my friends thought that I was no longer drinking. And then some people knew that I was drinking. And so that's when I became very good at controlling things and hiding my behavior from the people that thought that I was sober. And then I got the corporate job and, you know, eventually was showing up with a major hangover 4 out of 5 days a week. And that went on for a number of years. And I was eventually laid off in a reorganization. And I had, my drinking had gotten to a point where the layoff was something that I just could not handle. Yeah. And I remember I walked home, I went straight to the liquor store, I got a fifth of vodka, and that's when my drinking kind of became an around the clock activity.
من 29 الی 30 سالم بود که با اشتیاق خیلی زیادی که این دوست من بود تو برنامه و هوشیار شدم و حتی به یه خانمی هم کمک کردم که بیا تو برنامه اونو آوردمش اون پاش موند، ولی من خودم نتونستم پاش بمونم و این رفت آمد من به برنامه انقدر تلاش و شکست و تلاش و شکست بود که دیگه برای من تبدیل داشت میشد. یک سال این گیم رو داشتم بازی میکردم، بالاخره به این نقطه رسیدم که احساس میکردم اوضاع خیلی دیگه تعریفی نداره و یه موقعیت خیلی عجیب غریبی داشتم، چون خانواده‌ام فکر می‌کردن من هوشیارم، دوستان فکر می‌کردن من هوشیارم، یه سری از آدم‌های دیگه می‌دونستن من الکل می‌خورم و این موقعیت به من این شرایط رو داد یا ایجاب کرد که من خیلی استاد شدم تو کنترل کردن و این کنترل کردن و قایم کردن رفتارام به من کمک کرد که خب این مدتی رو ادامه بدم، ولی بالاخره به اون نقطه‌ای رسید که من از روی مستی زیاد یا از نسخ احساس نسخ جسمی که صبح خواب بلند می شدم برم سر کار، اوضاع یواش یواش خیلی خراب شد. یادم می رفتم خونه، کارم و بارم شده بود زندگیم در طول روز، در طول 24 ساعت فقط الکل خوردن و الکل خوردن.
So my life at that point shrank. And I basically would get up in the morning and have to have 2 very strong drinks first thing in the morning to stop shaking so I could go to the corner market to buy a bottle of alcohol to get me through the day. And then I'd go to the other corner market and get cigarettes, and then I would go home. I would occasionally make it to the market to buy food, and I enjoy cooking, but that kind of stopped. And then I was having food delivered, and that was my existence for a few year, well, six, a couple years. And it's weird. I still was managing to fool people. And there was one point very close to my bottom where I had a connection through a contractor who'd done some work on my condo. And I went to New York for a job interview and stayed with friends. And I remember managing to do that. And I had a little bit of wine with my friends, but in New York, and that was it. And then I went home. And then of course the job did not happen because my drinking got in the way. And then the next month, well, let's see, it was probably about 6 weeks later, a couple months later, you know, I was back home drinking around the clock. I woke up one morning and my left foot did not work. It's neurological damage called foot drop. And that really scared me. And at that point, I knew I had reached the end of my drinking career. And I will say, growing up, I went to church with my family, so I had an awareness of God and, you know, some kind of a relationship that had dissolved over the period of my drinking time. But it was at that moment that I had a very definite sense of God being the solution. And it's weird because most people in the program arrive at that after they've stopped drinking and are in the program. But because of my background, it just happened beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, over the years, I always wondered, gee, I wonder how this is going to end. Someone shared that in a meeting one time, and I thought, that is exactly what I thought too, as I was drinking my life away. I think, how would this end? And so here I was, absolutely scared to death because my foot just, you know, flopped. And so I started to talk to people about my problem.
Right. زندگی من اولا توی یه جای دیگه داشت درب و داغون میشد. تقریبا شما تصور کنید من صبح بلند میشدم و میرفتم قبل از اینکه شما باز بکنم دو تا لیوان باید الکلی چیزی سر میکشیدم تا برسم بعد بتونم از جا بلند شم، فقط لرزش من قطع بشه. بعد اونجا میرفتم اولین فروشگاه که عرق میفروشن یا هرچی میفروشن، از اونجا برای اون منطقهشون از اونجا الکلمو تهیه کنم. بعد میمادم میرفتم فروشگاه دوم سیگارم رو یه تهیه میکردم، بعد میمادم خونه. و جالب این که من آدمی هم که از آشپزی لذت میبرم، ولی برای این دو سالی که این وضعیت هر روز و هر روز بود، من حتی غذا هم درستابی نمیخوردم، دست به هیچی نمیزدم و این اوضاع خیلی خیلی قمر عقب کرده بود شرایط رو. یادم یکی 6 هفته تقریبا از این اوضاع، یه روزی از این اوضاعی که خیلی خراب بود، یه روز خواب یادم میاد که من رفتم توی اون 2 سال رفتم چه دوستم نیویورک که یک شغل رو پیدا کنم، ولی انقدر مشغول میخوردم اصلا اون شغل اتفاق نیفتاد. از اونجا که برگشتم 6 هفته گذشته بود از نیویورک که برگشتم و من تقریبا هر روز به صورت 24 ساعته الکل میخوردم. یه روز خواب بلند شدم پای چپ هم دیگه کار نمیکنه و بی‌حسه. برای من خیلی خیلی وحشتناک بود این موضوع و خیلی ترسیدم. یادمه که تو بکراند من و گذشته من کلیسا میرفتم با خانوادم. یه چیزی، یه آیدیایی در مورد این که خداوند وجود داره و راه حل ایشونه من تو ذهنم بود. خب خیلی تو برنامه میان اول پاک میشن میرن جلسه، هی تکرار و تکرار میکنن و خداشون اونجا پیدا میکنن، ولی من اون لحظه اتفاقی که برام افتاد یه احساس کردم که یک راه حلی وجود داره، اونم و اونم خدایی که خودم درک میکنم. و از اون نقطه بود که شروع کردم با دیگران صحبت کردن در مورد مشکلم که من یک کاری دارم میکنم که اوضاع خیلی خیلی خرابه. Right?
The most important person that I spoke to was a friend of a friend who lives in the Midwest. I had met this guy once before, and I knew he had been to treatment a few years before. And so our mutual friend arranged a phone call. And I spoke to this guy for at least an hour, probably longer, drinking through the entire conversation. And here I was a person, I had a therapist, you know, I was seeing a therapist for my anxiety, and then it kind of became obvious that wasn't the problem. And I was terrified of going to a treatment center and the cost involved and so on and so forth. This acquaintance turned my head around completely. He said treatment was the greatest experience of his entire life. He told me his story, and he changed my mind. And when I got off the phone, I thought, I can do this. And I made some calls. Serge, who's a member of this group, is a friend from college, and he helped out. So I called the treatment center and basically made a reservation for a week in advance, and got things lined up. I was very committed at that point. And this was kind of foolish, but I kind of detoxed myself at home and was basically lying in bed for 5 days, 6 days. It was not pleasant. And I knew that it was dangerous. So I would have a couple drinks each day, and then I would have one drink. And so the day before I got on the airplane, I had my last drink and went to treatment. So I'm going to stop there and you can translate, and then I'll pick up again.
یادمه که به موقعی که شروع کردم با دیگران صحبت کردن، مهمترین فردی که باش صحبت کردم دوستم بود. دوستم خواستم که با یه نفر، اون دوستم ارنج کرد با یه نفری صحبت بکنم که قبلا تجربه مرکز سمزدائی رو داشته، حالا یه اون ایالت و اینها. یادمه که به تلفن ارنج کردن و من تلفن دستم بود، تو یک ساعت با اون دوستمون حرف زدم. و من یادم تو یک ساعت هم همجوری داشتم گلنگدنی الکل میخوردم و هیچ توقفی توش نداشت، هم تو در موقع مکالمه. ولی بهش گفتم، حالا جالب، اون موقع من روانشناس میدیدم بابت استرابم و خب مشخص بود، بعدم تو برنامه فهمیدم که حتی من استرابم به خاطر ترس از رفتن به مرکز سمزدائی، چون تجربه قطع مصرف الکل برام وحشتناک بود. ولی اون دوست من شروع کرد داستانش رو تعریف کردن و خیلی جالبه که یک جوری توی یه لحظه انگار همه فکر منو به یه شکل دیگه‌ای هدایت کرد یا تغییر داد. و من بعد از اون تلفن قطع کردم، شروع کردم از سرچ کردن و دنبال یه مرکز گشتن و یه هفته جلوتر هم اونجا رو بوک کردم. ولی یه کار عجیب غریب کردم که توی یک هفته موندم خونه و قطع مصرف کردم. قطع مصرف 24 ساعت الکل خوردنم رو تبدیل کردم به دو تا استکانی که فقط روزانه بخورم، که از خطری که میدونستم که خیلی ممکنه خیلی خطرناک باشه، کسی که 24 ساعت در طول روز میخوره بخواد اصلا یه جا نخوره. در صورت بعد که رفتم آخرین شاتم، اولی آخرین استکانم قبل از اینکه سبدم فرودگاه زدم و رفتم سوار هواپیما شدم که برم به سمت مرکز سمزدائی.
So the program I was in was very step intensive, entirely based on the 12 steps. My third week of treatment, my parents came for family week, and having my father there was difficult. And I didn't know at the time he was in the early stages of Alzheimer's, very early stages, but things didn't go really well. And there was one, I didn't see my parents for most of the week, but we had a session where my dad and I sat in a circle, and he basically told me what a disappointment I had been and things like that. And so I was struggling, you know, sober for 2.5 weeks at this point. You know, aware of step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And a friend of mine in the program said, just turn it over, just hand it over. And I remember saying, you know, I can't do that. It won't detach, you know, it's like the desire to hand it over is there, but it's not leaving me. And that has stayed, but that's a very vivid memory of my early sobriety. And I got through the week and I stayed in treatment for 3 months. And I went back to Boston and I went to 2 meetings a day for 6 months because I wasn't working. I eventually got a job at the company that I had been laid off from and started to, rebuild my life. But going to meetings, and this is someone who, like, first time around, I did not get the 90 meetings in 90 days. It just seemed to be unthinkable. And I was so desperate to not go back to where I had been that I was happy to go to 2 meetings a day and just absorb what I was hearing. And I was always fond of step three. I had gone to meetings. I had found a sponsor when I was in treatment and went to meetings with him. And one of them was a step three meeting. So I got a lot of step three stuff. And it finally occurred to me after being sober for several years that my problem with step three and handing it over was very much tied to my control issues. And I realized that I had become very good at controlling because I had gone through a long period of time where I was convincing my family I wasn't drinking, tried to make my colleagues think I wasn't drinking. And I became a master at controlling things, which I think is common for alcoholics. And I realized that that is what was keeping me from handing things over to God. Because I wouldn't let go, because I had to have some part in making things the way I wanted them to be. And that was such a major breakthrough for me to just, and it happened because I had been to so many meetings and talked to so many people, and it was just one of these magic moments that happens in the program. Where the little light bulb goes off. And so that was a great realization.
من موقع که رسیدم با مرکز سمزدائی خب خیلی اونجا برنامهشون فشرده و جدی بود و خیلی سریع سعی میکردن 12 قدم رو تو همون ابتدا با ما کار کنن و یادم این که هفته سوم من کلا 2 هفته و نیم بود پاک بیدم که پدر من رو آوردن نشوندن سر یه میز و ایشون شروع کرد بر من تعریف. تجربه بسیار بسیار بدی بود و من اصلا باش راحت نبودم و اینکه پدر من نشست و بروی من و با من شروع که صحبت کردن که چه گندی زدم به زندگی و چه کارهای مزخرفی کردم و خیلی در غیره و زالک و من خیلی خیلی تجربه بدی بود و این که اصلا من خیلی برای این کار زود بود برای این رو شدم با این مسئله. ولی خب حالا انتخاب اون مرکز بوده. من سه ماهی موندم تو مرکز سمزدائی و من برگشتم به ایالت خودم کار نمی کردم. چون کار نمی کردم 6 ماه روزی 2 جلسه رفتم. شما تصور کنید من قبلا جلسه رفته بودم و برنامه حال نکرده بودم و رها کرده بودم. حالا رسیدم به این نقطه که روزی 2 جلسه می رفتم و بالاخره من شغل ایدئال هم پیدا کردم. ولی اتفاقی که افتاد در مورد قدم 3 که میخوام در موردش حرف بزنم اینه که من یه مشکل خیلی بزرگی داشتم من در مورد این که قدم 3، چون فکر کردم اگه قدم 3 رو کار کنم انگار یه چیزی رو دارم از دست میدم، چون میخوام یه چیزی رو واگذار کنم به کسی دیگه. تعریفش برای من حداقل اینجوری بود. ولی اونم ریشش تو این بود که من سالیان سال به خاطر مصرفم استاد کنترل و یا گول زدن دیگران و یا مدیریت شرایط رو داشتم. ولی خب این کنترل کردن مشکل اصلی من بودش. ولی اتفاقی که افتاد برای من، انقدر جلسه رفتم، جلسات خیلی زیادی رفتم، گوش کردم تا یک جایی برای من مثل یه لحظه ای، مثل یه چیزی اتفاق افتاد که شبیه معجزه، و من حاضر شدم که رها کنم و این قدم سه رو اجازه بدم زندگی وارد بشه، بعد من فقط در گروه جلسه زیاد زفتم بود.
So having learned that, I have found it so incredibly helpful in my journey. I celebrated 14 years of sobriety a couple of months ago, and I still have a strong desire to control pretty much everything that crosses my path. But I now know that that ultimately doesn't work for me. So it's a much lighter version of control. And I find that when things are very difficult for me, and one of the things about getting sober is learning to deal with the difficulties of life without a substance, without alcohol. Because I don't have that, I think, you know, the control thing, it's something familiar and not entirely forbidden by the program. So it is an issue that 14 years later is still an issue. I know that it's always going to be an issue, but it's not as strong an issue. And I am much better at recognizing my control problem. And when things are difficult, I can stop and think, I need to turn this over to God. I know that the only way I can do that is to stop controlling, trying to control it and let it go. And I mean, this last year I had a cancer diagnosis. There have been some major life things happening, and I had surgery. It was successful. The future at this point looks very bright. It looks like the cancer's no longer in my body, but it you know, it's not a guarantee. That's a really major thing to have to live with. My company was just merged with another company, and I don't know if I'm going to have a job a year from now. That's something I truly can't control. So sometimes life gives you things to remind you that it's futile to try to control things. I am much more able to lean on God, hand things over to God as I understand him, and go on with my life and be as hopefully as effective a person that I can be. But I, you know, I still think the third step is my favorite. It is the step that frankly gives me the most. I do have some other secondary favorites, so it's not like I've forgotten the other steps, but this is one that I just kind of keep returning to as, for me, it's just good to be reminded that there really is an out from the misery that I create for myself. I think that's about it. It looks like I filled up the time.
Right. این که من دو هفته پیش، دو ماه پیش، من تولد 14 سالگیمو گرفتم، ولی هنوز با یه مشکلی به نام کنترل روبرو هستم. و جالبه که تو اکثر موارد من هیچ کمکی به خودم نمیتونم بکنم. و یه سری رو فهمیدم که برنامه که هستم، این سفر بهبودی من به شکلی روبرو شدن با مسائل و مشکلات زندگی بدون مصرف الکل و هر چیز دیگه ای. و بیشتر مواقع هم همچنان میدونم که کنترلی ندارم، ولی محصول 14 سال تو برنامه بودن و تمرین اینها به من یاد داده که تشخیص بدم کجاها درگیر کنترل هستم. و کجا میتونم خودم متوقف کنم و یه خورده به مسئله نگاه کنم و رها کنم و بسپرم به چیزی که باور دارم، و همچنان قدم سه قدم مورد علاقه منه، چون متوجه شدم که یک راه حلیه برای اینکه من از احساس بدبختی و گرفتاری که دارم منو برای حداقل میتونه برای متوقف کنه موضوع. من تو سال آخر بیمار دکتر تشخیص داد که من سرطان دارم و این یه مشکل خیلی بزرگیه که من باید تو این سنم با این مسئله روبرو بشم و باید زندگی کنم، و جراحی داشتم و ظاهرا نشون میده که سرطان رو رفع کردم، ولی هیچ گارانتی توش وجود نداره که من دوباره بر نگرده. ولی اینکه شغلم هم به خاطر شرایطی که تو اقتصاد هست و اینها، یه کمپانی بهتر و خفن‌تری اومده داره عملا کار کمپانی من تحت تاثیر قرار میده، اصلا معلوم نیست که من بتونم همچنان به کارم ادامه بدم یا ندم. ولی مسئله که اینجا وجود داره، بیشتر اینها هیچ کنترلی من روش ندارم و یاد گرفتم که چطوری اعتماد کنم و این پروسه و رهاش کنم. تقریبا من حرفم تموم شد. I really appreciate of behalf the group of your time and your share, and I'm going to hand it over meeting to the secretary. You can stay with us. I'm sure the Farsi language is going to sound great for you.
I'm gonna sign off, but thank you all for listening. It's been a privilege to be a part of your meeting.
All right, my pleasure. Let's go with that. میتونید با ما بمونید، میتونید برید. مطمئنا زبان فارسی چیزی احساس شبیه زمین یونانیه برای تو و شاید معنی نداشته باشه. هر جور که سلام میدونی که ایشون گفتم من خداحافظی میکنم. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All the best.